Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Donna Thiesel with Donna's Edge. I am your host. Thank you so much for watching us every day, Monday through Friday, from 1 to 3 p.m. Central, as we get to talk with each other. It's all about truth. Truth really does matter. So Murray Edwards is with me right now. But before we get started with Murray, there are several different ways you can find us. You can go to our website, and that's icradio.media. Download the app. It's free. You can do that. You only have to download it once, so you'll be able to watch this. And that's on Apple and Android, okay? Then another way is through television. You can find us on Channel 182 on Charter Communications. That's local to North Alabama. You can also find us on syndicated television. That's Abundant Television, found on Roku, Apple TV, and Amazon Fire. And another thing that we're about to get set up, and this is our podcast. And I'm really liking this podcast because I can actually pronounce it without like messing it up. I was always butchering it. So here we go. TheNewsCasters.com. TheNewsCasters.com. You'll be able to find us this way. Murray Edwards is with us. And Murray, you're a big part of this podcast.
Yes. Basically, it's going to be a national platform. We're calling the website is thenewscasters.com, but we're calling the platform the Newscasters Studio. And what we're doing is bringing folks on like yourself who have a voice of things that people need to hear about. What we have found is on a localized basis, folks get to hear, you know, good comments, good conversations, but some of what they need to talk about really needs to go on a national basis. So we're putting together this particular platform that will be for regional, local, national broadcasters, news journalists, freelance journalists, podcasters like yourself. And we will be sharing it and pushing that information out to across all the media platforms. So when Donna does a show, the whole world will know that Donna's doing a show. And if they want to tune in, they'll be able to. And they'll be able to go to an individual's private studio, as we're calling it, and review all the shows that individual has. So you may be able to find a topic that is important to you and be able to listen to it and, you know, reach out and make contact through social media. So we're excited about it. We plan to launch on November the 1st, and then there'll be a special event occurring on November the 4th. We think will jumpstart the platform quite nicely. So we're excited about it. We've got a lot of people. We'll probably start the platform up with somewhere between 10 and 15 contributors. And then hopefully we'll be able to grow it to, you know, 25, 30, 40, 50, how many people that want to share their voice across the countryside.
Absolutely.
A lot of folks from Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Texas, California, the Carolinas, up in the Midwest. So we've already got a good group of individuals who are going to come on board. We'll talk about various and Cedric, I'll get it out in a minute. Various topics from politics to social to the Constitution. So we think it'll be something that'll be beneficial for everybody. The nice thing about it,
timing is crucial. Timing is crucial. So many things are happening in this world right now, and you're only hearing sound bites. You're not hearing the whole thing. We're going to get it all out there.
Yes, ma'am. There'll be no censorship. So as long as somebody stays nice, cool, and calm, doesn't lose their composure, they'll be able to talk about pretty much anything that they want to talk about. And the nice thing about it, we will be controlling. I don't use the term controlling, but we'll be in a situation to where basically any kind of topic, any kind of subject matter that somebody wants to talk about, they'll be able to get it. And you're right, Donna. All we hear are sound bites. You get a little snippet here, a little snippet there. And most folks want to hear the full story behind that snippet. And they very seldom get that. So, you know, our intent is to have folks like yourself. I do one of myself from a national standpoint, talk about and digging into those issues a little bit further. So an individual can make an intelligent decision, because you can't make a decision unless you've got the knowledge in the background that's been told to you. Then you can decide, you know, yep, that's a good thing, or nope, that's not a good thing. So that's what our intent is. We're excited about it. Like I said, our plans right now to be live on November the 1st. and just hope everybody will start paying attention.
Yeah, paying attention is crucial as well. I mean, you've got to know what's going on around you. Speaking of which, here in the state of Alabama, I mean, we're going to get on the national front in a few minutes, but in the state of Alabama, we've got this redistricting going on right now. Mm-hmm. Educate us. What's going on with that?
Well, back in the couple of years ago, they redistricted the state, the congressional districts, didn't touch the Senate districts, but the congressional districts. And then NAACP came in and basically said that the district lines that were drawn were racist and that it did not allow for, in their terms, enough black voters to have a say-so with who they want to be elected. So they went to the Supreme Court and they came back and said, well, you've got to redraw the lines. Well, they did. That wasn't acceptable. So they did. They had a special session earlier in the year. They redrew the lines, they passed, and then the NAACP came back in, along with a couple of other groups, came back in and said, nope, that still doesn't give us the representation that we want. So last week, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, the three-court judge came out and basically said, here's what the new lines are going to look like. So what they did is, for folks who used to live in the standard old District 2, you may not live in District 2 anymore. You may be living in District 1 because what they did is rearrange District 7, they rearranged District 2, they rearranged District 1, and now District 1, it used to stop around the Evergreen area and go up into Baldwin County and Mobile County. It's been cut. District 7 now comes into District 1. So where you thought you might be voting for, let's say, Jerry Carl, in District 1, you now may be in District 2 and be voting for whoever is going to run for that office. So the final judgment came down is, I think they took map number 2, which is going to in District 7, that drops Terry Sewell's minority voting from 52% down to about 51%. And it increased the District 2 from about a 40% minority to about almost a 50% minority. It took Montgomery County out of District 7 and brought it into District 2. And then they cut District 2 basically in half. And now it goes from the state line to the state line down to around Evergreen. And District 1 now goes all the way across the state and takes in Houston County where it used not to. Now the caveat's going to be is what will Congressman Moore do, because he's the one who's affected by this the most. He can still run in District 2 if he so desires, but with Montgomery County now being the largest, I guess, minority group in the state, we'll see Stephen Reed out of Montgomery. I'm sure he'll put his name in the hat here within the next couple of days. Mm-hmm. You'll see him running for Congress. There's already been a gentleman out of Wetumpka who's announced. And then, like I said, Barry Moore will have to decide, is he going to try to run? Because Barry will now live in District 1. So will he try to run against Jerry Carl, which will make it difficult because Jerry Carl will have all the major metropolitan areas now in what is in District 1. And so he would have a hard time. Now, I've been asking because there's folks who have said that live in different parts of the state, you do not have to reside in the district that you run for. So I guess there's a possibility that, Congressman Moore could run for District 2. Now, the caveat to me on this, Donna, is it's assumed that the minority population in what is now the new District 2 is going to vote Democratic. There's a lot of folks in the minority community that are not going to vote Democratic. They're going to vote conservative. And so as much as they've messed up how things are going to go, the Democratic Party may be surprised a little bit because it may not go like they want to. Now, the caveat is what will the Alabama GOP and the national GOP do to support whoever runs as a Republican for District 2? Mm-hmm. And if now have they thrown their hands up? then there will be, instead of a 6-1 split, there'll be a 5-2 split. So we'll have two Democrats in the House, and we'll have five Republicans. And so I'm curious, and I'm going to have a meeting tomorrow afternoon as to what is the Alabama GOP going to do? It's sort of like, I've read a couple of things, and it's almost like they've washed their hands of it. You know, they're going to concede and let potentially the Democratic, whoever runs for the Democratic seat, to win. But I know many minorities. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I was in Montgomery with the minority group for the Alabama GOP, and they're not liberal. They're not Democrats. They are Republicans. And some of them are as conservative, if not more conservative, than some folks I know. And so they're going to have to reach out to that group and figure out how they're going to spread that, because you've got the blacks, you've got the Hispanics, you've got the Asians, and how they vote, that block votes, is going to be a little bit different than I think what some folks think is going to occur.
Well, I think it's just a little bit on the racist side to assume that blacks are going to vote. That's racist to me. Because I know a lot of folks who are from Spanish descent who voted for Trump this past election. I was surprised in my area.
It is because, you know, going back to what I said earlier, it's an assumption that that group, that sect of voting block, I guess you might want to say, is going to vote the way that they think they're going to vote. I think it's going to be a surprise. We'll just have to see. I know I was on a call, this was last year. Congressman Moore had a call. Of course, at that time, he had Montgomery County. And there were a few folks on that call that were from Montgomery. And they were black voters. And their words were, I can't vote Democrat. I am a Democrat, but I can't vote as a Democrat because the Democratic Party has left me. I voted for you, Congressman Moore. I'll vote for you again, Congressman Moore. I mean, they came on the call and announced it. So I think if the party does, and what I mean by the party is the GOP does the right thing, I think they have a really good chance of keeping that as a Republican seat. If they don't, then what's going to happen, we'll lose it. And Stephen Reed out of Montgomery, he's been groomed for years to run. He was either going to run for governor or he's going to run for something. And now it just opens the door for him perfectly. He gets his dad behind him. And I don't know if many people know Mr. Reed. He's something else. But so he's been prompted to do this. So, like I said, I would suspect by the end of this week, Stephen Reed out of Montgomery, the mayor, is going to announce his run for District 2.
Sounds like somewhat of a clever design on behalf of the Democrats, where they're not getting what they think they're going to get. I think they're going to be truly disappointed. And I'm saying this from Silk of Diamond and Silk is on the show once a month. And so Silk said that, you know, and before Diamond passed away, she said there would be at the airport, black folks would walk up to them like really fast and say, "We're voting Trump," but then they would scurry away. They didn't want anybody seeing them speaking to her. And she said there's a growing number of black folks who don't want to be on the slave trail anymore.
I agree. It's surprising. I know I work with a black young lady. She is aggressive, is aggressive. I call her one of my I have pit bulls across the state that I call on every so often and say, I need for you to go find out about this. She is one of them. And she is conservative as the day is long. And she has created her own little group now. And they've created what they call peacekeepers. And they're now going into some of the minority neighborhoods trying to curb violence in some of these neighborhoods. And that whole crew, I know, will vote Republican. So, again, it's going to be up to the party to, I don't want to use the word cater to them, but it's going to be up to the party to educate them on what their candidate can do for them. And that's something they don't do a whole lot of. They just assume that, well, you'll vote for a conservative because he's conservative. well, you still got to tell folks what you're going to do for them, you know, and we've seen it over the years where the Democratic Party, even though they've supposedly been the leader for the minority community and the business community, they've walked away from that group. And people, thank goodness, especially after what they've seen over the last 2 years coming out of Washington, they realize that that party does not care for them anymore. And no, we can talk about that when we start talking about the national stuff, because there's some tweaking going on that I don't think a lot of people realize that's occurring.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. You know, folks in Chicago, you know, they voted Democrat their entire lives. I'm talking about generations of voting mm-hmm. Democrat. Absolutely. And so they see what's happening with the border. And they see all these folks coming in, and, you know, and it's where, you know, it's like they're catering to them instead of who they already have in their pocket. And this is just no rule right here of sales. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier to take care of your customers than to have to go out and get new ones. Mm-hmm. You're going to spend a lot less shoe leather running up and down the road and tires under your cars or whatever, but taking care of who you have. But when people feel like they're not being taken care of, they're going to go looking somewhere else. And I know this is true. A growing number of folks who are considered minority, they're making a life, they're making a living, much more, and their dreams are coming true. And it's not because of the Democrats.
No, it's not. There's a strategy, and I think we may have talked about it once before. It's called the Cloward-Piven strategy, and what it does is it was created back in the 60s to affect the minority community. You create chaos, you create confusion, and then you call on the federal government to come in and to clear that up. Federal government comes in and gives cities and states money to take care of a minority community. It started off in the welfare state. We have to have more people in the welfare state. Well, who do you do that with? Is you take the minorities who have not been taken care of, you throw them all into this particular group of individuals. Then it changed in the late 70s, early 80s into a voting strategy. And when one of the bills that were passed when Obama first got in was about voting rights, and the founders of that strategy were at the White House when that bill was passed. Now what's happening is a new influx of confusion. Mm-hmm. You have an open border. You have people coming in from all over the world. And they are now going into New York and Chicago and everywhere. Not them in particular. There is now a new class of minorities. And it's not the class that have been accustomed to being taken care of by the government. Mm-hmm. And they feel like that when this group comes in, and I think there's been like 8 or 9 million come in this year, that the government is going to start funneling money to the cities and the counties and the states to take care of these people. So guess what? Now you've got a different type of welfare state. And if they can push to get driver's license, like some states are doing, mm-hmm. automatic voter registration when they get that driver's license. So, you know, now you have a situation to where some folks that might not have necessarily voted Republican are now saying, hey, we're being pushed aside. You know, they've got this new class of people who they know are going to be dependent on them. We better figure out what we're going to do, because we're not that shining star anymore. We're sort of got a dusty of luster on us, and this new batch of people that are coming in are going to be the folks who are going to get all the attention.
I think you're right. That's what it is. And these folks are smart, and they're wising up about this. They're seeing how they were kept in slavery all these years. Yep. And a number of them have really done well for themselves, and they don't want to go back into that kind of life anymore. And I think it's pretty awesome. But now about the redistricting, mm-hmm. that's why it's going to be really, really wise on your part, on all of our part, to know who we're going to vote for, so we can know who to entertain questions with. There should be some websites out there where people can find out who they're going to vote for.
Well, you can go to the Secretary of State's office. They'll have a draw the new map that's been decided. Now, what you're going to have to get into is get with your probate judge offices in your respective counties and find out who's going to register the vote. Now, it'll come out who's voting where and when, but the voters will have to know is where do they vote now? Because like I said, there were parts of District 1 that are now in District 2. There are parts of District 2 that are now in District 1. There were parts of District 7 that are now in District 2. You know, so people are going to have to find out that, well, if I voted for, let's say, Barry Moore in Autauga County, I may not be voting for Barry Moore anymore. I might be voting for somebody else, or in Houston County. That's going to be District 1, so that could be Jerry Carl. So the folks are going to have to take a look at their new district, get with the probate judge in that area, find out where your precincts are going to be, because all that's going to have to be realigned and, go from that standpoint. And they'll have a list, and the Secretary of State's office will eventually, when everybody gets registered and qualified, they'll have a list of the candidates. And you may check with your party. If you're a Republican, check with the Republican Party, because if they run as a Republican, they have to register as a Republican, mm-hmm. and same thing as a Democrat. And the question is going to be, is any independents going to throw their hat, name in the hat right now, like they did last time when the Libertarians ran a whole bunch of people. I don't know that that's going to occur again, but they will have to know that. They need to find out what's going on up in District 10, North Alabama, mm-hmm. up in your neck of the woods, mm-hmm. because there'll have to be a special election there. And I think a couple of people have started to throw their names in the hat for District 10. Now, this does not affect any of the state congressional or House districts or Senate districts. This is all from a federal standpoint. So wherever you voted for last time for District 10, the precinct may change, but it's still going to be District 10. Mm-hmm. Same thing with District 55, where they're down now to no Republicans ran for District 55. So it's between two Democrats, one gentleman and one gentleman who thinks he's a woman. is now running for District 55. Somewhat amazing, but I digress there. But get with your probate judge, get with the state Secretary of State, get with West Island Secretary of State. You'll be able to find out, where and when and who, when everybody gets qualified.
And do it now. Don't wait Absolutely. Until the week of the election, because you have too many folks. You've got to find out what they're all about. And that's extremely important.
Well, for folks who classify themselves a conservative Republican, you're going to have to start playing the same games that the Democrats play, where ballot harvesting is legal. They need to do it. If early mail-in votes are allowed, don't wait till the election day to vote. Go ahead and vote and get it over with, because we've seen it happened all over the country. Georgia was a prime example. They had all these early mail-in votes, and Herschel Walker on the day of the vote was 190 some odd thousand votes behind, and you're not going to make all those votes up on election day. So play the same games that your competitor plays. Understand, talk to them, find out what their platforms are going to be. Ask them some point blank questions. Look them in the eye or he or she in the eye and ask them some point blank questions. And if you don't agree with it, you need to tell them, I don't agree with that. What are you going to do for this? What are you going to do for the economy? How are you going to affect this? And, hopefully there'll be some good folks who run and can give everybody a alternative between this person and that person. And, we'll have, a good situation. But we have a mess right now. We truly do.
We do. We're going to have to go into a commercial break. Half the show is already over. Can you believe this? We'll be right back in just a few minutes. So everybody hang in there, okay? We're going to talk a little bit more on the national stage.
Mm-hmm. at Le Mug's Mexican Restaurant, located in Henniger, Alabama, and voted Best Mexican Restaurant of DeKalb County, Alabama 2020, we're here to serve you with authentic Mexican cuisine. Order easily online by going to lemonsmex.com or call 256-657-3999 to place your order. We're open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Whether you're celebrating a cozy date night for two or a celebration for a crowd, at Le Mounds, you'll love our atmosphere and friendly servers. Thank you for dining with Le Mounds Mexican Restaurant. At Liberty Bank, we're all about community, whether it's to help with a charity fundraiser or help families in need. Toys at Christmas or a local football team, we're here for you. You see, we realize the importance of family. Sometimes it's to build a new home or necessary home repairs. We're here for you. If you like the feel of a small town bank with all the conveniences of a big city bank, we're here to serve you. You will find us at any of our convenient locations in DeKalb, Marshall, Etowah, and Blount counties in North Alabama. You can call and speak with any of our friendly staff at 256-659-2175 or check us out on the web at libertybankal.com. And thank you for your support of our community. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Jeff McCurdy of the McCurdy Law Firm has been a public service of this area for over 10 years. McCurdy, a member of the Henniger City Council, serves as prosecutor for the town of Sylvania and was named public defender for the city of Rainesville. The McCurdy Law Firm is located at 17326 Alabama Highway 75 in Henniger to better represent his Jackson and DeKalb County clients. If you need to be represented by a true public servant with proven success, call Jeff at 256-996-8701 or send a private email to mccurdylawfirm@gmail.com. No representation is made that the legal services performed is greater than the legal services performed by other lawyers.
Oh, it's so soft and smooth.
It's cool to the touch. How did you do that?
Well, we took MyPillow's patented fill and combined it with this new technology that we didn't have back then when I invented MyPillow to bring you the best pillow in history, MyPillow 2.0. Because of all of you, MyPillow 2.0 has been a huge success. And now we're bringing you our best-selling go-anywhere MyPillows with the same temperature-regulating technology. Made with my patented adjustable fill and brand-new cooling fabric, they're truly the next generation of MyPillow. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to save over 60% on our MyPillow 2.0 four-pack special. You'll get two MyPillows and two go-anywhere MyPillows. Regular $259.92, now only $99.98. King size, just $10 more. This is a limited time offer, so please order now.
The Hatter Cafe and Country Inn is nestled in the northeast corner of Alabama the Beautiful in the delightful town of Mentone. We're located on top of scenic Lookout Mountain near Little River and DeSoto State Park and located only 5 minutes from shopping and restaurants. There is also a nearby community walking path and golf course. We welcome everyone through the doors and we are committed to outstanding service for all guests. At the Hatter Cafe and Country Inn, we invite people from all walks of life to come and get away from it all, enjoy the open spaces, treetop views, fresh, clean air, and experience Southern hospitality at its finest. We look forward to hosting you. To reserve a special event, or if you would love a special getaway at the Country Inn, you can call us at 256-634-2018.
Okay, folks, we are back. My name is Donna, and I am your host of Donna's Edge. Thank you so much for watching. We're about truth. We wanted the real truth out there for everybody, even if it hurts me, Murray. Even if it hurts, I got to know, okay, especially before I get out there and start voting. But there's some we need to talk about Israel, okay? So I know in church we were all talking about it, and, you know, it's just, it looks like we're in a mess. Are we, in your opinion, are we on the verge of World War III? The administration we have ahead of us right now.
We have such an inept administration right now that if we're as close as we've probably come in years in my lifetime, we've got a situation to where we have an administration who has appeased terrorist organizations. They've given money to Iran in the past. They've given money to Hamas in the past, and it's just total, completely appeasement. I mean, there was an article came out in the Wall Street Journal, I think this morning, that basically said that Iran gave permission for Hamas to do this attack. And you hear, you know, some folks on the left, you know, basically and automatically shutting down the right of Israel to defend themselves. And there's been over 1,000 people killed. 9 or so of them are Americans. And there's many Americans who have been caught up in this 100 or so people that Hamas has kidnapped. And it's just, they're just maniacs. The mainstream media is calling them militants. They're not militants. They're terrorists. They don't care about human life. I mean, when you go to a place where kids, young men and women are celebrating a particular day and they shoot and kill 260 of them and drag them through the streets, they're barbaric. They're terrible people. And our administration has catered down to these people now ever since they went into office. I mean, we had sanctions on Iran for oil. They lifted those. They had money that was being held. They have now freed that. And the stupid statement that the secretary made yesterday, well, that $6 billion did not go to fund this. Well, it'd be like me saying, you know, Donna, here's $1,000. I know you need to do something. I've got a couple of $1,000 I can give you. Can't give it to you today. But you may already have a couple of $1,000 that you can go do what you want to go do with. And you go do that. And then 2 or 3 weeks later, this $2,000 shows up in your checking account. That's all Iran did. They knew they were going to get $6 billion. And so they took the funds that they had, some funds that they had, and they shifted it around. And they provided Hamas and Hezbollah with weapons and intel and things of that nature. If Hezbollah comes into it, and it is proven, in fact, that Iran has come into it by giving advice to the Hamas, Israel will go after Iran. There's no two ifs and buts about it. Now, what they'll try to take out, I don't know. Now, you've got a couple of the powers to be within the Hamas organization now living in Turkey and living in Qatar. So are they going to go into those two countries and assassinate those folks? That's going to cause conflict because now you're going on foreign soil to kill somebody. And do they deserve to be killed? Based on what they called for on Saturday, they're nothing but heathens. And they should be treated as such. When you start taking kids out of family homes and shooting people and raping women, taking their clothes off and then dragging them down the streets, that's not humanity in any form or fashion. And it's just a shame. So I think we are. We've got Iran, who is locked up a little bit with Russia. They've locked in with China. They have some loose ties to North Korea. And they just can do pretty much what they want to. I mean, Biden came out, I think, on Saturday and made a brief statement. What happened was terrible. You know, we've got Israel's back. But what he didn't say is some of the things he has said about Ukraine. We'll be there for as long as it takes. Mm-hmm. We'll support Ukraine. All he said was, we've got your back, to Israel. So is that a short?
Had a picnic yesterday, by the way. I think I'm going to call them off.
And then today, they put a lid on anything that comes out of the White House. So nothing's happened today, but it's Columbus Day. So I guess, you know, he didn't want to be bothered on a holiday. But I think we're about as close as we can be to one. And a lot of it depends on just how aggressive Israel is when they go into Gaza. I mean, they say they're going to go full bore, and they should, and just wipe out Hamas. Iran's not going to like that. The folks up in Libya, I think that's where they are, the Hezbollah group. I could be wrong, but they're just north of Israel. And you've got these groups in Egypt. You've got them in Saudi Arabia, and they're all being funded by the Iranians. And, you know, when they sit there and they burn flags in the middle of the street, they have an Israeli flag on one side and an American flag on the other side, and they burn them and stomp on them and spit on them. They don't like us too much. And why this administration and his previous administration, the Obama administration, they gave him $1.6 billion to do what they wanted to. I mean, we saw it. They flew it in the middle of the night. They didn't want to put ties on Iran. So I think the next couple of days or weeks are going to be very touchy. Now, if Biden comes out and tries to tell the prime minister of Israeli, you got to back off. You can't do some of the things that you're doing. We're going to have a big problem, because I know if I was in that situation and 1,000 of my people had been killed and slaughtered and butchered, I almost wouldn't care what Mr. Biden said. Mm-hmm. They made a comment one time, a long time ago, we could turn a rock into glass. You know, they could probably turn the Gaza Strip, and you hate it for some of the people there. But then again, you got to think they're allowing these people to stay there. Now, you'll hear the terms that, well, the Palestinians are hostage to Hamas. Well, maybe you should have stood up to them and said, we don't want them, you know, in our little piece of the world. But they did. So are they as guilty as some other folks? Probably some of them are, some of them aren't. But it's a scary time right now.
Let's talk about leadership. We know what leadership we have. It's worthless. But let's talk about local leadership. Mm-hmm. So the mayor of Birmingham, Randall Woodfin, I'm sorry. So he had posted something in regards to, you know, support Israel. Mm-hmm. And he put that on X and then takes it off.
It's,
what does it say about leadership?
It's terrible. You've got the what they call the squad. You know, they've come out and said, well, Israel has a right to defend themselves, but we are calling for immediate ceasefire. So it's okay for one half of the party that's causing the problem to do anything that they want to do. But when the other group that's been attacked says, we're going to kill everybody that did this, and they have the right to do something like that, then they say, well, no, you need to stop. That sounds like the same type of situation that the squad came out with. I've read a few tweets or X's or whatever the heck they're being called now, where, you know, people have put something out and then all of a sudden it miraculously it disappears, you know. And what will the Democratic caucus do? You know, some have come out in full support, but when the pressure comes down and the body count goes up, and it's going to go up, how much pressure is going to be put on the Israeli government to back down? And as I said earlier, if in fact Iran has been, they can prove that Iran was part of this, oil wells are going to blow up. The military things are going to blow up, and it's all going to be done. We're not going to do it. We're, you know, Israel is going to do it. And so that brings in Turkey. That brings in, you know, Syria, some of those other Middle Eastern countries, you know, even though they're trying to do the accord, you know, are they going to allow for it? I think we'll see Egypt and Saudi Arabia and a few of those countries don't like Iran anyhow. So hopefully they may not come out and support Israel, but hopefully they'll keep their mouth shut and say, well, you go do what you got to go do, and we'll just sort of sit back here. We're not going to engage. But who knows? There's some pretty radical countries out over in the Middle East.
There are. And I'll have to tell you some things I noticed about Facebook the past couple of days. So I'm trying to, you remember when the Ukraine conflict or whatever you want to call it, war, you could find things all over Facebook. You put it on, you know, it could be on your Facebook page, you know, I support Ukraine and all this kind of stuff. So I went because I support Israel. And the only thing I could find was a flag. I couldn't find anything on Facebook that said, I support Israel. Ukraine, it was all over the place. And it's, now I can't even, then I went back today, I don't even see the flag.
Now that's something I haven't looked into, but you've got to assume that the mainstream media, and including social media platforms, if the message is not being sent by the administration, they're not going to abide by it, and they're going to make it very difficult for individuals to find information out and to find memes and things like that. You're right. When the attack, the issue occurred in Ukraine, you had the flags, people putting it up in their, you know, temporary profile pics and all that kind of stuff. I've only saw a couple today. I was, you know, posting a few things myself about some other issues, and I saw one or two. I support, you know, Israel, but it's just a shame how we have gotten to the point to where the media itself has gotten so biased. I was listening yesterday afternoon. I was on the road. I happened to be listening to a little bit of an interview with Fox, and I think it was Tim Scott. And the lady who was interviewing him, and he was matter of fact, you know, this and this and this and this. And I would like to have seen her face, you know, on TV, because you could tell he had shut her down. And with some of the things that she was asking, and she finally said, well, in 30 seconds, can you tell me how this is going to occur? And you could tell, this is nothing that you can answer in 30 seconds. This, you know, take a whole segment all by itself to answer those questions. And he basically goes, that can't be answered in 30 seconds. Well, you know, do your best to see what you can. And that's coming from Fox, you know, so they've changed a little bit, but we'll just have to see how things shake out. I think the next couple of days are going to be quite interesting for all of us. We need to, you know, keep our ears and eyes open to what's going on out there.
I do too. Most of this just seems to be lining up to me, though. I mean, women's intuition, or whatever you might want to call it, it's just the election is just too close. And so many things are happening at such rapid speed. So many things. This is just another example of it.
Well, you sit there this afternoon, Robert Kennedy Jr. dropped out of the Democratic Party. And he's now going to run as an independent. So that's going to put more pressure on Biden. He'll probably take some from Trump. I don't know how much, but he'll probably take a few from Trump. But he'll decimate Biden. And it's going to get difficult, because we will never get, unless hopefully when our platform gets up, we'll be in a situation where we can share information with folks that they may not be able to get anywhere else. And it will be important to have that information, especially when it comes to voting time. Now, if you've seen some of the latest polls, you know, Trump, if you're a Trump supporter, he looks pretty good on most issues. And you take a look at the economy. We've got the highest national debt in history. The mortgage rates are highest they've been in 25 years. The credit card debt for consumers is the highest it's ever been. School debt for loans is high as it's ever been. Interest rates on cars are as high as it's ever been. You know, so somebody's going to have to make sure everybody hits to see and hear that information on a timely fashion. And part of the reason we're starting our platform is to be sure we can get that information out there to folks so you can at least hear it from somewhere. You know, because if you don't, you'll go into the voting poll and says, well, I voted for Joe or I voted for this guy or that time. He's a pretty good guy or gal, you know, and just, you know, check a box. The days of just going straight line, checking a box, they're over with. Mm-hmm. And if you continue to vote Democratic, it's not the Democratic Party. Well, we've said it before on the show. This is not the same Democratic Party that your mom and dad grew up with. This is a socialist Marxist organization who only wants one thing, and that's power and control of the American people. And they're going to do everything they can to shut down the First Amendment, attack the Second Amendment, and everything else that they can to strip individuals of their rights. And we, as a people, just can't afford to allow that to happen.
But, you know, Murray, I'm out here in the real world. I'm boots on the ground. I talk to real people. I'm talking about people who are fed up. Yeah. People that normally would just stay inside their house and go, well, it's not affecting me personally. So, you know, let them do whatever because they're all evil. You know, I've heard that before. But I'm seeing these people emerge now who have never said anything ever in their lives. I'm feeling pretty good about it as long as we're not shut down.
Yeah, it's getting much better. We are having, I get the pleasure, I guess you might want to say, a roaming around the state talking to different groups. And people are getting much more vocal. The problem here in Alabama, we can be as vocal as we want to. It's always going to vote R on the national scale. You know, the issue is not necessarily a Georgia, an Alabama or Mississippi or an Arkansas. The issue is going to be a Michigan, a Pennsylvania, a Virginia, until that group of individuals wake up and realize, you know, this particular party is not here to take care of us. And to a certain extent, it's really both parties. You know, both parties are guilty, but the Democratic Party seems to be a heck of a lot more guilty of doing more worse things, I guess, to the American people than the Republican Party. And that's something they're going to have to push on when the election cycle really truly begins. Excuse me.
Well, Murray, it's a gimme when it comes to the voting polls, and it's a gimme, Democrat versus Republican. But now we also need to go in and sift through Republicans.
Mm-hmm. I agree completely. I mean, there were 16 Republicans who voted for the omnibus bill. We saw what that did. There were 17 Republicans who voted for the Safer Communities Act, which had gun control in it. You know, you've got, and I don't know how you know, people feel about McCarthy. Some people like McCarthy. Some people don't like McCarthy. They were yelling and screaming that because he partnered with the Democrats to try to keep the government open. And I'm not a fan of CRs. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I absolutely despise CRs. We haven't had a budget in place since 1996. That's how long it's been before they've passed budgets on the time frame that they're supposed to be. So I'm not for them. But some of the things that were in that CR seemed to be okay, acceptable, as if in fact they only did it for the short amount of time. Of course, odds of that would be pretty slim too. But they got upset because he partnered with some Democrats to get that CR passed. And when they unseated him, 8 Republicans partnered with 200 and some odd Democrats to unseat the Speaker of the House. You sit there and go, well, wait a minute, that doesn't make good sense. You're mad because he did that, but you're going to do the same thing. So now you've got a House who can't do anything until a new Speaker is put in place.
That's the whole point. We only have about 2 minutes left. I know you have an appointment you have to get to, but But we have to have a Speaker of the House. I mean, especially with this chaotic thing that happened this weekend.
Absolutely.
This is crucial. We have one. How soon do we need to be working on? Do we need to go on ahead and get McCarthy back, at least for the short term?
I don't know how that would flow, to be honest with you, Donna. I don't know whether they could just reinstate him or vote him. It's going to most likely come down.
It just feels like it's bad timing.
It's terrible timing. And could, you hate to say it, could they have taken advantage of this situation because they know now the House can't do anything until there's a Speaker. Yeah, it does. I have to agree with you. They can't do anything, you know, and the Speaker pro tem doesn't have really any power to do anything, you know, so they're hampered. They can't talk about the budgets. They can't talk about the CR that's going to go away in, I guess, 30 some odd days now. So they're locked. Hopefully they'll come to some type of agreement and either Scalise or Jordan will become the new Speaker of the House. But we won't know that. If they come out on the floor on Wednesday for a vote, they have enough votes to get either Scalise or Jordan. If they don't, this thing could go on for weeks. So people need to watch.
Who would be your pick between the two men?
I sort of like Jordan. I mean, I've met him one time. He's an extremely sharp guy. He's intelligent. He's a matter of fact kind of guy. He basically tells it like it is. The reason they talk about Scalise is because he's second in control. You know, if something were to happen, he was the second in line, I guess, to be the Speaker, and the roles were, well, you know, you were Speaker, he's gone, you were second in line, so now you should be given that simply because you are now second in line. My concern there is his health. I mean, the gentleman's got blood cancer. And now how that's affecting him, I honestly do not know. But that would be something in the back of my mind is to that. And now he is a better fundraiser than Jordan is. He's more, I guess he might be more polished, I guess, than Jordan is, because Jordan's pretty rough around the edges. If you listen to him, he's pretty matter of fact. He just sort of states it like it is.
And that's what I like.
Does seem to be a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And so I think Scalise is a little more
statesmanlike.
Subtle, but maybe that's
a little more
statesmanlike. Yes, ma'am.
We're going to have to let it go. I've got an honor of your time. I know you've got to hurry up and get to another appointment. Thank you, Murray, so much for being on the show. But let's get you back on really soon. As soon as you've got a few minutes, let's get back in contact with each other, okay?
Yes, ma'am. Always available.
Absolutely.
Take care.
You too. And thank you so much for watching Donna's Edge. We are your place for truth. So thank you again so much for watching.
Are you ready?
We all wonder what tomorrow will bring, but the future lays itself at the feet of the prepared and surrenders to the will of the persistent. It's not easy, but today shapes you so you can shape tomorrow. With Northeast Alabama Community College, when the future asks if you're ready, you can answer.
Yes.
Begin your future at Northeast Alabama Community College.
The only place I buy my beef is Lone Tree Ranch in Collinsville, Alabama. Their cattle is born and raised on their ranch, grass and grain fed, and you can feel confident when you serve your family and friends because their beef is all natural and no antibiotics or hormones are added. You can buy whole beef or perhaps go in with family or friends and buy half. Their customer service is number one as they take care of the delivery to their local processor and can deliver to your home for a small added fee. They also offer herd replacement heifers. I always call Lone Tree Ranch in Collinsville, Alabama for my beef specialty recipes and cookouts, and you can too. Food shortages are increasing, so buy local by calling 256-523-6462. That's 256-523-6462.
Don
Donna's Designs offers a line of handmade memorial, wedding, and keepsake jewelry that launched back in 1970. I'm a self-trained jewelry designer, and I will work closely with you to create unique designs you can love and treasure for years to come. Whether that be flowers that were used in a funeral arrangement or stones you found on the beach at a memorable trip, call me at 256-659-4319, and let's think of the possibilities.
At Liberty Bank, we're all about community, whether it's to help with a charity fundraiser or help families in need. Toys at Christmas or a local football team, we're here for you. You see, we realize the importance of family. Sometimes it's to build a new home or necessary home repairs. We're here for you. If you like the feel of a small town bank with all the conveniences of a big city bank, we're here to serve you. You will find us at any of our convenient locations in DeKalb, Marshall, Etowah, and Blount counties in North Alabama. You can call and speak with any of our friendly staff at 256-659-2175 or check us out on the web at libertybankal.com. And thank you for your support of our community. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Lamone's Mexican Restaurant, located in Henniger, Alabama, and voted Best Mexican Restaurant of DeKalb County, Alabama 2020. We're here to serve you with authentic Mexican cuisine. Order easily online by going to lamonesmex.com or call 256-657-3999 to place your order. We're open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Whether you're celebrating a cozy date night for two or a celebration for a crowd, at Lamone's, you'll love our atmosphere and friendly servers. Thank you for dining with Lamone's Mexican Restaurant.
Wow, it's so soft and smooth.
It's cool to the touch. How did you do that?
Well, we took MyPillow's patented fill and combined it with this new technology that we didn't have back then when I invented MyPillow to bring you the best pillow in history, MyPillow 2.0. Because of all of you, MyPillow 2.0 has been a huge success. And now we're bringing you our best-selling go-anywhere MyPillows with the same temperature-regulating technology. Made with my patented adjustable fill and brand-new cooling fabric, they're truly the next generation of MyPillow. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to save over 60% on our MyPillow 2.0 four-pack special. You'll get two MyPillows and two go-anywhere MyPillows. Regular $259.92, now only $99.98. King size, just $10 more. This is a limited time offer, so please order now.
Jeff McCurdy of the McCurdy Law Firm has been a public service of this area for over 10 years. McCurdy, a member of the Henniger City Council, serves as prosecutor for the town of Sylvania and was named public defender for the city of Rainesville. The McCurdy Law Firm is located at 17326 Alabama Highway 75 in Henniger to better represent his Jackson and DeKalb County clients. If you need to be represented by a true public servant with proven success, call Jeff at 256-996-8701 or send a private email to McCurdyLawFirm@gmail.com. No representation is made that the legal services performed is greater than the legal services performed by other lawyers.